Leviticus 22, starting at 26, and I'm going to give you Numbers 29, starting at verse 12. And Dr. Bob, if you'll look, Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, starting 1 through 21.
22, what, Kim?
22, verse 26, and then we'll go to 23, verse 44. Because this is what your tree from Israel is quoting right now. The believers in Israel are quoting. So it says in Numbers 29, verse 12, on the 15th day of the seventh month, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. Celebrate a festival to the Lord for 7 days. And then, of course, it goes on for other details and present an offering made by fire as an aroma pleasing to the Lord, a burnt offering of 13 young bulls, 2 rams, and 14 male lambs, a year old and without defects. With each of the 13 bulls, prepare a grain offering and 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. With each of the 2 rams, 2/10, and with each of the 14 lambs, 1/10. Include 1 male goat as a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering with its grain offerings and drink offerings. So that's the first day. That's the commission for the first day. Now, would you give us yours, Numbers 29?
No.
I'm sorry, Leviticus 22, starting at verse 26.
To the end?
I believe so, because it goes off to the 23 up to 44, so it's quite a long...
No.
No?
No, it only goes to 33.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when a bullock or sheep or a goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam. From the 8th day and thenceforth it shall be accepted for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And whether it be cow or ewe, you shall not kill it and her young both in 1 day. And when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. On the same day it shall be eaten up, ye shall leave none of it until the morrow. I am the Lord. Therefore shall ye keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you, that brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord.
Now, chapter 23, verse 44.
And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord.
So it's again the quoting of the feast, so that there's actual awareness that, you know, the whole nation, all of its males were there. They were there as one and in one accord, not just, you know, for celebration purposes. But I believe it's also a teaching to us to be aware. Yes, we are here. Some are out there. But we are carrying the ball until the next generation comes, if that so be it. Zechariah 14, verses 1.
A day of the Lord is coming when your plunder will be divided among you.
And verse 21.
Every pot in Jerusalem and Judah will be holy to the Lord Almighty, and all who come to sacrifice will take some of the pots and cook in them. And on that day there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord Almighty.
Okay, what do you perceive out of that?
Well, I don't know the reference to the Canaanites, so it's...
Well, the Canaanites were actually an ungodly people, and they They really weren't interested in serving God, period. They were antichrist, if you wish. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what he's also, to me, it's a prediction that there's a people coming down the highway that will be holy unto him, and that we are to stay obedient. How it progresses, I think it's depending on, again, how God perceives the next level of what he's trying to do with us. And this morning I said to the Lord, what is it that you want to go forward with? And he presented me to go back to Romans chapter 11. So if you want to go to Romans chapter 11, here you have St. Paul, and I think it's important to recognize that he wrote it to the Romans. And roughly, maybe I'm guessing, 200 and something years later, which is the adoption of the Roman formula for the church, and it became a political church rather than a church that was based on the Jewish traditions, and the foundations were still there. So he's writing to the Romans, to me, as a warning, especially if you look at that scenario. Here's Paul declaring that he's an apostle to the Gentiles. He's giving them a heads up about what their foundation and what his foundation is. Paul is a Jew. He's teaching the Gentiles. He's trying to tell them to stop their rejection, maybe, of the Jew, because you can see he's correcting them. Okay? So let's kind of take a peek at that. I will take the beginning of it, and then I'm ask you to follow along, Bob. Okay? I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew, which we talked about earlier. Don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah? How he appealed to God against Israel. Elijah's upset with Israel at the time that he's angry, okay? Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altar. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. And what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So, too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. In other words, he's identifying to the Romans, don't do what my ancestors did. They try to bring salvation into their homes and into themselves by works. We're under what? A new covenant. A covenant of grace. If it were grace, I'm sorry, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. Unmerited favor, if you substitute the word. What then? What Israel sought so earnestly, it did not obtain. But the elect did. The others were hardened, as it is written. What do we need to learn from that particular verse? There was a group of 7,000 that were elect, that did not bow. But there's also another group that were hardened. So, is it any different today? How many of you have some hardened folks around you? They are hardened in their traditions, hardened in what they believe of their religious traditions, and they're going to carry them to the end, and some of them will tell you, I'll carry them to the grave. Because that's how strong that their convictions are. Mm-hmm. Who hardened them? Who hardened them now? If you look at their stubbornness, you're going to blame the person. if you look at God's plan, you're going to find that he's trying to wake you and me up to a deeper degree. Mm-hmm. Out of their hardened hearts, you and I can go back and say, okay, God, I don't want to do what they're doing, so help me to go higher. Help me to understand that they have been hardened by you for a season. And maybe it's to change my attitude. Because he's working on the elect. Are you the elect?
So how do you understand that they've been hardened as an act of his will as opposed to their rejection of his will?
Sometimes because they have rejected, but other times, to me, there's an ultimate purpose that's even higher. So it could be either one. You don't know the heart of the other person. I don't know the heart of the other person. But I do know this. He's after me. It's a coordination with me that he's working on. It's so easy to blame the other guy because he's stubborn or she's stubborn or everything. And we so quickly judge and condemn. Yet, God is saying in his word here, look, the elect followed. 7,000 in Elijah's day had not bowed. This was a sovereign work of God. Is your salvation and my salvation a sovereign work of God? So you can see a pattern here. And we need to keep that in mind because, you know, I believe St. Paul was probably foreseeing what was heading down the highway. He spoke about the Antichrist being visible then. The ones that are really after another Jesus. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, again, but the elect did. The others were hardened, as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor. Eyes so that they could not see. Ears so that they could not hear to this very day. And David says, may their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. May their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see and their backs be bent forever. Again, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? What's the answer? Not at all. Dr. Bob, would you pick it up?
Again, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater the riches will their fullness bring? I am talking to you, Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I make much of my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches.
Just reflect on that last verse 16 there. If part of the dough offered as first fruit is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. So now, do we look at some branches of the Jewish family today alive in their traditions being still accepted by God? Mm-hmm. I believe the last 100 years has shown us, because it was in the late 1800s that the Balfour Declaration was made. Yep. And then after World War I, the dedication that was already prepared for the land of Israel to be returned to the Jew. Yeah, so you see, what I'm looking at is this. I'm looking at it from a perspective of watching, as we're living in that day where all these things are happening in front of us. Some of it happened before us, but some of it is happening now. 1948 is my years.
Well,
you know, I was remembering 1948. I was 8 years old.
Didn't God say that until the days of the Gentiles are fulfilled?
Right. So are we getting closer to that deadline?
Yes.
I believe we are. And I believe that, you know, as we're all going to make mistakes. I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. However, I think there's enough evidence happening right now that we need to be aware that we are getting closer and closer to the finished work of the Gentiles. I'm not saying it's going to stop, you know, but I do believe that there's going to be a transition. And the Jew is going to awaken very quickly because they are starting to get jealous now. And even now, Israel in the past couple of years has now been able to listen to the church, the alive church, the Holy Ghost church. And they are represented in Israel, and they will listen to the prophets that are in the church. That's happening.
If you come unto a Jew as a believer in Messiah, he will listen. If you come to a Jew as a Christian...
No, because you know why? The word Christian has been...
I know that, you know, the Gentile churches have tried to hide it, but they destroyed the original church.
Yeah.
And everything in it. Because, I mean, it's, you know, some people, they read the Bible. But, sometimes you got to ponder on it. Why did God allow? See? God made, all right, basically grabbed a Pharisee. Because that's what Shaul was.
Yeah.
Of the priesthood. Mm-hmm. He was of the bloodline of the priesthood. He wasn't no little...
No, he was a big... You know, he was a that's, big...
That's why I hate when the church says that the apostles were not schooled.
Oh, it's wrong.
You know, there is a difference between a high school diploma and a doctor's degree.
Yeah.
All right? Mm-hmm. But okay, so let's... Why did he choose a Pharisee? Studied under Gamaliel. Okay? You studied under Gamaliel. You got a doctor's degree. You don't have a high school diploma. The apostles might have had a high school diploma.
Well, in reality, Peter didn't have really much of an education because he couldn't read or write.
Yeah, he couldn't read and write, but if you look at King David and everything else, and he says, and I will tell my children, so my children will tell their children, yeah, so they don't forget. It was a custom of the Jew that it was the father's responsibility
to
that
teach.
He would sit with the children,
yeah,
and he would speak it,
yes,
so they would
spoken.
Remember.
Correct.
It was a spoken word.
Right on.
The actual written word was in the Torah in the temple. Nicodots were not put into Torah or the Hebrew language till after the dispersation, so that they would not forget.
Well, the thing is that I believe what we're looking at is we're trying to remember why the tree is holy. The entire tree is holy. So if you'll pick up on verse 17, Dr. Bob.
Excuse me. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root.
Notice it's sharing.
The sap.
Go ahead.
Do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted. But they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either.
So what were they doing? They're getting a little cocky, aren't they? And he's making them rake the truth. Why were the others taken off? Unbelief. How many in the church today are standing in unbelief?
Well, that's my thing. I mean, on there, you know, make it quick so we don't get stuck on it. But it's the emphasis on look who God chose to send to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Why didn't he send Peter?
Because Peter was not in a place where he could debate, in my understanding. And Paul had those credentials, and no one else had that.
He, you know, it's like if you look at God's, the way God does things, mm-hmm, who whoever he appoints mm-hmm. is of a specific bloodline.
Yes.
Has to meet the criteria that he said mm-hmm. and he imposed mm-hmm. for it to be. I mean, he doesn't break.
No, he doesn't break his ways.
And at the end of it all, you know, like some people say, you know, I'm not even going to go there, but let's be for real. If you look at what Jesus taught, Jesus says, this is my example. I set my example of what I do. What he fulfilled basically is the what he observed. And so that we, as an example. And then look who he chooses to send to the Gentiles. You know? Mm-hmm. And if you look at what a lot of churches are teaching, it's totally opposite.
Well, again, remember who hardens the hearts.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's an ultimate purpose in my understanding. We're in a day similar to the days of Elijah that, you know, there is so much deception in the church. Yeah. And so much of it is based in the traditions of their coordinates. And they'll frown at what's happening because they are uncomfortable because we are now awakening. And many, many in the call of God to go a little higher, to reconnect to the Jewish roots, just to acknowledge that they're there, is a beginning. So, Gail, pick it up. Verse 22.
Okay. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again.
God is in the control room, basically. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, ye have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. O the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen.
What's your perception on those last